It is 8:40 here on this Monday edition of Palmetto Mornings. 74 degrees. I'm Lucas McFadden.
And I'm Ashley Lang.
We love to welcome in our listeners who are listening on FM 100.1, AM 1340, as well as on the free WRHI app, WRHI.com, and on the TV side of the house, CN2, that's Comporium Cable Channel 102, as well as on Facebook Live, X, all of the other major social media platforms. Simply search for WRHI and CN2. It all leads to the same location. On the show this morning, we have Dr. Martha Edwards, who is the incoming president for the South Carolina chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And good morning to you, Dr. Edwards.
Good morning.
Good
Thank
morning.
Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Well, we have you on this morning and discussing the bathroom policy within the Rock Hill School District. And Dr. Edwards, let's kind of bring our listeners and our audience up to speed how we got to where we got today. So I'll let you take the floor from here.
Yeah, so that, you know, Rock Hill School Board had proposed a bathroom policy because there was an 18-year-old trans woman who was a biological male but had transitioned into a woman, wanted to use the women's restroom. It was difficult for her to get to the restroom that she wanted to use. There was a unisex restroom, but she would have had to miss some class, I think, for that. But other kids were very uncomfortable with this. So understandably, this, you know, the administrators tried to take care of it. I think the school board was trying to grapple with that as well. And meanwhile, the state passed a provision with the budget to require that that people use the restroom that was on their birth certificate. And so, you know, as a pediatrician over many years, I've followed families. I've been practicing in Rock Hill for 25 years. I was in practice for 30 years before I just retired this Christmas. But a lot of families have struggled with this. You know, they struggle with a lot of things. And if you have raised teenagers, if you are raising teenagers, this is a hard time. There are a lot of questions that are raised. And the job of teenagers is really to kind of bond more with their peers, try to establish an identity that's separate from the parents. It can be painful. Anytime we undergo transitions, that's hard. But during that time, some kids, you know, I see kids that have, when they were little, they were teased relentlessly for being effeminate. They were called names. They were, you know, in the boys' bathroom, they were bullied relentlessly. They finally get to their teenage years. They come out and they say, you know what? I do identify as a girl. And this is a long-standing thing. Some people, this happens later. But and then people say, no, that's ridiculous. We don't believe you. But anyway, so they don't feel safe in the boys' bathroom. They aren't welcome in the girls' bathroom. And then we're told, you have to use another bathroom. And I guess as a pediatrician, what I see with kids, what I see with every one of us, a human need is connection, belonging, fitting in. And so when we're telling these kids, I mean, it seems like such a little thing. I'm like, well, why don't you just use the unisex one? Why are you making this a big deal? It's just one more thing that they're said, you don't belong. You don't belong here. And it kind of breaks my heart. And I feel like we're vilifying kids, feel like these are dangerous people. You know, our school board members are calling them men dressed in women's clothes. I don't know if you know any trans people, but they're some of the nicest people you could meet.
What is your response to, instead of going at it from the child using the restroom, that you say a lot of this is coming from bullying and this is coming from people teasing them? What do you say to the adults in the situation who should be in charge, who should say, cut out the behavior? Like, I feel like we're not taking a stance from that bullying perspective, from that, you know, cut it out. Like, cut the crap. Like, don't. From the teacher being the authority in the classroom and in the school, same with the administration, and then from the safety perspective. So I'll let you talk maybe a little bit about that piece first, and then we'll go into the safety issue.
I think that's a really good point. We have to, as parents, we model what we want to see. And so first of all, I think a lot of times that starts in the home. We need to practice treating everyone respectfully, and talking about people respectfully, whether you agree or not. Everyone deserves to be treated with dignity. Maybe not everyone deserves your respect, but dignity is really a requirement in my house. And when I raised my kids, that, you know, this is how you treat people. So I think it starts at home, and then I think it does go to schools. And I, you know, if you've been in a adolescent bathroom at schools, a lot of the kids that I see are terrified to go in because there are five girls vaping in a stall. That is a big problem. So I do agree, maybe there needs to be more supervision. I also know, I have lots of teacher friends, they are stretched to their limit with all the things they have to deal with. There are a lot of other things that kids are afraid of at school as well. But I think it starts with all of us. We all need to take that responsibility with modeling love, modeling good behavior, modeling, you know, treating other people well.
Dr. Edwards, in the case that brought this to the conversation in the school board meeting, mm-hmm. The school board representatives that came on this show said accommodations were mm-hmm. offered to this individual. Why was that not enough? Like, what was the
I think so.
Problem
I mean, I
there?
I think of the movie, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Hidden Figures, where, and it may be an extreme example, but she had to run across like a mile away to go to the restroom, and she missed important things that were going on at her work. And I think this child, in order to get to the unisex restroom, which was offered, would have had to leave class early, get to the next class a few minutes late. And so again, maybe not a big deal, but again, it's, you're different, you don't fit anywhere, you know. And I think a lot of times, instead of the people who were scared of this person, I think digging into that a little bit more, what's causing that fear? Why are we vilifying? Has there been behavior? And I don't know this situation. Maybe this has been an explosive trans woman. In my experience, I haven't seen a lot of trans women cause any trouble. And generally they're very kind because they've been through a lot themselves.
Well, I think too, it opens the door. So if you have one male student who, mm-hmm. you know, let's just be honest. I mean, I have a 12-year-old who doesn't look 12. I mean, mm-hmm. he looks 15, and kids mm-hmm. look older these days. And so if mm-hmm. you have one male student who says that they identify this way, and you open the door to let him go to the restroom, and then another 18-year-old, 17-year-old walks into the school and says, well, I feel like I identify this way today, and we allow him to go into the restroom, and then something happens, where do we draw that line of safety? Because if you let one do it, then you're going to have to let the rest of them do it. And at some point, there is going to have to be a line that's drawn in the sand. And I also feel like maybe giving the accommodation of the unisex bathroom, you're also not putting children, the boy in that position, the opportunity for the girls to say, well, he did do something. I feel like mm-hmm. maybe that's a way to keep all of the children safe.
Yeah, and I heard you say that as far as, you know, keeping that child safe, because they could be the target of accusations that aren't true. And so I appreciate that as well. And I would say, as far as drawing the line, generally, I don't know of a case ever where there's been a full-blown, very masculine boy who has never shown any signs of being transgender suddenly wanting to use the women's bathroom. That may be, and certainly that's why I think these policies really need to stay at the school level, because there are different solutions for different kids. I used to say, all kids in my practice are special needs. All families are special. Everyone has their own needs, and there are different situations. And to make a blanket rule, I think can be very damaging to some families, to some kids. You know, the parents that struggle with this, they don't wake up in the morning. I don't think most of these kids wake up in the morning thinking, I'm going to cause some trouble today. You know, I want to make someone's life difficult. They just want to go to the bathroom.
Well, it is a difficult conversation to have. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many different moving parts. I know Ashley's going to share this quote before we leave the interview, that I'd like to end on that, because I think mm-hmm. it's a nice way to end the conversation on a period. But on this show, we always love to play devil's advocate for a couple of devil advocate questions. So if the accommodations were offered to the individual mm-hmm. and they were afraid that they were either have to get out of class early or get to class late, when I was in school, I also had to deal with that. Right. Like the bathrooms were not located from one class to another, from high school to college.
And that is the bigger problem.
Yes. And then I had to ask my professor, and nine times out of 10, we were good to go. Like I can't remember a time that they still gave me a tardy pass.
Sure.
So there's that. Also, no one likes using the restroom in middle school or in high school. Mm-hmm. So no one likes it.
Lots of constipation, yeah.
We don't want that.
So, like, no one likes using it.
That is true, yeah.
So, I mean, again, to what you're saying, you know, I don't know if people wake up in the morning thinking, what harm can I cause people today? Mm-hmm. But in this case, at this school where there's probably thousands of kids, and we're talking about possibly one or two versus the majority, you can see why people are having a hard time, like, trying to understand and digest this stuff if accommodations were offered and it didn't seem like that was enough.
In a school with thousands of kids.
Well, and I guess I would flip that around and say there are thousands of kids and this is such a tiny problem. I mean, you guys were talking previously about firearms and firearm safety. And I mean, that's what I would focus on. That is if there's a number one killer of children in the United States and in South Carolina. 67% of the suicides in South Carolina were done by firearms. We need to focus on things that do really affect kids' safety and safe storage. No one's talking about taking away guns, but safe storage, gun locks, talking to parents about, you know, let's teach your kids how to really respect these.
Well, education starts with number one, nine times out of 10. If you have a conversation with folks when they talk about gun issues, I know we're getting on another tangent, but nine times out of 10, if you ask majority of the time, they've never either touched a gun or been around a gun. So education first, concealed weapons permit classes. Like there's lots of education platforms out there for that, but I don't want to get too much off the topic there. So, well, let's end on this statement. Cause I think when we have these kind of conversations, which are sometimes difficult
and awkward conversations
to have, but you have to do them. And we just proved that we had a healthy and fun conversation.
You can.
To reach them. Like
it is possible.
Yeah. To reach a middle ground, because there's a little bit of give and take in all situations. There's got to be a middle ground. And I think this statement right here sums it up best.
Yeah, so I saw this quote. A friend posted it earlier this week. Our culture has accepted two huge lies. The first is that if you disagree with someone's lifestyle, you must fear or hate them. The second is that to love someone means you agree with everything that they believe or do. Both are nonsense. You don't have to compromise your convictions to be compassionate.
Exactly. I think vilifying other people is a problem, and we do. We need to open those doors and talk face-to-face, eye-to-eye. That's where social media has been very bad for kids.
Mm, absolutely.
That I think everyone can agree on.
Everyone will agree on. 100%.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Yes. Well, we appreciate the conversation. Dr. Martha Edwards, again, is a local pediatrician, but she's going to be the incoming president for the South Carolina chapter of American Academy of Pediatrics.